This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
You know, spring has sprung, and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning. And they've already helped you tidy up all the nooks and crannies of your body's basement. But this year, Manscaped can help you get the perfect presentation of that beautiful face with the new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Now, there's a lot of neckbeards in professional wrestling, all right? So make sure you look your best this spring by using the code K100 to get 20% off, plus free shipping at manscaped.com. So for all you neckbeards out there, I know there's some, you know, there are a lot of you, but the ones that have the well-trimmed beard, it's time to tame your mane with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. The sun is peeking back out, which means you'll have to show your face in the daylight again. That's right, you gotta get out of the house. So use the kit to make sure your scruff looks award-winning, whether you've got glorious beard flow or some smooth, sleek cheeks. So the kit starts off with the Beard Hedger. It's a waterproof cordless trimmer with a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths. That's 20 lengths, that's a lot, all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of add-ons. Like, you know how you have all those guards and you have to keep them in your drawer and they're lying all over the place? You know, it's funny, too, because my cats steal the guards.
Right.
And go and play with them. Like, I'll come home and I got the guards of my my beard trimmer, Beard Hedger, are on the steps, are on my trimmers, right? Okay, so no more of that with the Beard Hedger. It comes with titanium-coated T-blades that are tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. It's a high-tech piece of art, a travel-sized package with a long-lasting battery, universal charging, and a strong motor, right? So you don't have to worry about charging it all the time. And next, the kit is the liquid goods that make you feel good. Start with the beard shampoo and conditioner. You gotta have that. You can't treat your beard like you treat your pubes. That's why the kit is a special shampoo and conditioner specially designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, that's very key, and replenish your beard's natural oils and promote beard health. It also has this the Manscaped Beard Oil. And the nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine to liven up the look. And then it has the Beard Balm. And it's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oil. So it's got like a, you know, like a gel for your beard. It's awesome. So not to mention the Beard Hedger Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts. A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So if you have a beard, or if you want to grow a beard, you got to use this. It's the Beard Hedger. and you can save 20% off for free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off for free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com. Focus on the face and use the Beard Hedger Pro Kit for the cleanest look in the game. And if you want to start a beard, you have to get this product.
This is incredible. If you haven't purchased this yet, you'll be happy you did when you do. So get all your grooming needs at manscaped.com. Boom.
It's a hell of a deal. Next is from Garth F. Killing Machine. The subject is Cage. It was revealed a few weeks ago that Triple H was told by the boss of WWE that it stopped signing new talent at the start of the year, which basically means that for free agents out there, it's are limited in their options. One of the free agents that seemed destined for WWE is Brian Cage, but it has since been reported by Sean Rossap, a guy that Bill Body fears, that Tony Khan not only re-signed Cage to AEW, but he signed for a significant raise for a five-year deal with the option to turn it into a six-year contract? What? Me reading that, I'm in utter shock, right? Now, I like Brian Cage, and I would never deny anyone's right to make as much money as he can, legally, but what in the name of fuck is going to run through Tony Khan's mind? He said Brian Cage signed to him for 4 years, done nothing with him at all, and now he wanted to keep him around for another 5 to 6? With reports of the cost of the video game, the rumors that Wembley Stadium show will have low ticket prices, and the undeniable fact that AEW cannot sell tickets for American shows anymore, it really seems like Tony Khan is just throwing money away with zero profit in sight. What do you guys think about this Brian Cage deal? And did you know that the guy running your YouTube publicly flaunts his George Michael vinyls on social media? Does Yuji do that? George Michael vinyls on social media?
I think he's a record collector guy. He put up like that, Prince, Metallica, all at the same
time. Suspend him for a week. Just suspend him for a week for the mailbag for that. Okay, suspend Yuji. I'm absolutely flabbergasted. Unless Tony now just doesn't want anybody leaving to go to WWE anymore, this is an absolute colossal waste of money, and I feel bad for Brian Cage. How old is Brian Cage?
I'm going to look it up. I'd say late 30s, though.
Bro, this guy had a window coming up where he's still in really good shape and
he's
has 39. a lot to bring to the table. And it's like he's just going to be kind of like left under irrelevance here. And working on Dark and I don't know. So it's a colossal waste of the guy.
What a shame that a guy that looks like that, who's a very professional guy, nice guy, who
super
always
super nice guy,
you know, is 39 years old. And look at, they've done, he
done nothing.
I'm just a hardcore fan. You don't know who Brian Cage is.
Right. I feel, I will say this though.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, I feel bad that for guys that have like wanted to be something in professional wrestling, worked hard at it, and you have a chance to get your opportunity and you get signed and you're making good money, but you're never really getting the opportunity that you want. It's like, okay, bro, if you sign for 5 years and you're happy with your money and you and your wife, you know, Melissa, God bless her, are satisfied with your contract, but you kind of got to know, it's like, I'm not going to be as famous as I could have been working here because they haven't shown anything. They've done anything with me like previously. So it's like, I don't know. I'd have mixed feelings if I was him, you know, you're getting paid. I guess if you got a raise and stuff, but I'd feel bad that he's never really getting an opportunity to be what he could have been, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, he has a kid and he has to support another kid from his first wife.
And ultimately that's what this business is all about, is making money. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all he cares about. But I know that he cannot be happy with this. Because, bro, like you said, at the beginning, he was the victim of, like, politics. They were mad because of what Melissa put on Twitter.
Right.
And they were fucking, even though Rebby had done even worse.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, double standard, you know.
Right.
You know, Matt Hardy, to them, maybe worth more than Brian. So they decided to make bro, they wanted him to go into the locker room and apologize to everybody. And I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
And so he was a victim of politics, and then all of a sudden, they do nothing with him, and they resign him, and they still haven't done nothing with him.
He's like he's one half of the Ring of Honor Trios champions, so one third. Next is some curious.
I have a further update from Chris Jericho on the earlier email.
Okay? All right,
and he wanted me to share this. This is an interesting photo because, as you can see, Jericho is hanging out with Robin there, but also with Super Attorney Robert Shapiro.
And then, Vince Neil. Is that Vince Neil?
Vince Neil from Motley Crue, yeah. So he said, you know, that story wasn't true. We hung out a bunch even. But he also reported that Rodman told him he thought Disco was a, quote, dweeb, unquote.
He told me
okay,
that.
Then, all right. First of all, let's suspend Jericho. Any content from him for a week for misinformation. Okay, because I'm not a dweeb, all right? That's very slanderous content coming from him.
Yo, while you're going back with Jericho, ask him
the Rock segment
with Madden on Rock.
Okay.
Next is some curious shit. The subject is question on Lucha Underground. Hernandez is an underrated talent. Number one, Lucha Underground was the third promotion that followed after WWE and TNA, and I started watching wrestling during Ruthless Aggression SmackDown's 6 era and never got to watch WCW and ECW. The impact that gave me a little bit of exposure to Lucha style Lucha Underground was something else. I was heartbroken when Lucha Underground ended. Can you give some insights on how Lucha Underground came to existence, what really caused all the delays which eventually caused talent to split? Why was Hernandez never able to get out of the mid-card scene, even when he was single? I only remember Lucha Underground giving him a decent push, but in TNA, he never even felt like an upper mid-card as a singles competitor. And here are a few underrated talents you guys would recommend to watch, preferably one with nice character work and decent in-ring stuff. You can go ahead with this one, Conan, to start.
What's the first question?
First question is...
How did Lucha Underground come to existence, and what caused all the delays?
Yeah.
Well, I was there from the very beginning, so I definitely know for sure. So there was this guy that was, he owned a soccer team in the United States and super rich guy. And he knew Dorian, I don't remember how, from AAA. And he said that he knew a guy, which was John Fogelman, who used to work for the, what's that talent agency that's really popular? I forgot. But anyways, he worked a lot with J.J. Abrams and people like that. And he was kind of like a guy that could get people together. So he got all these people together and they came up with the concept for Lucha Underground. And and originally we were going to work with these other people called...
He was with William Morris, Conan.
William Morrison, yeah. And he knew he was like a mover and a shaker, you know, knew a lot of people in Hollywood, and he could make this happen. And he knew Robert Rodriguez, so he got Robert Rodriguez on board. And so to me, one of the main mistakes they made is I forgot the company we were going to work with. Really smart, sharp people. I forgot their name. But anyways, they ended up working with the guy that did Survivor. What's his name?
Mark Burnett.
Mark Burnett. And Mark Burnett was very difficult to deal with, kind of a diva, never went to the show, just sent his people to run the show. And then he wanted a lot of money to, you know, continue to help the show. I thought he was a big detriment because he was in it for himself and not for the show. And the problem was nobody there knew about Lucha. They were all Hollywood guys. So, you know, that was one of the biggest problems.
The next one was... Why was Hernandez never able to get out of mid-card?
Yeah, right.
I just think in TNA, they didn't see him as a main eventer, and plus he couldn't cut promos, and that hurt him big time, you know?
Right.
Because if you're a main eventer, you got to be able to cut promos.
Right.
Was there another question?
The last one was, who are underrated talents you guys would recommend to watch, preferably ones with nice character development? Yeah, answer that.
I think everybody's on TV and you would know them. There's nobody, no hidden guy that I can think of right now.
Right.
You know, I like Fatu a lot from MLW. I'm not, you know.
Right.
I can't think of anybody
else. That's a good call.
Now is the time to come and enjoy all the things that make winter at Biltmore so appealing. Experience the grandeur of America's largest home in a more intimate way. And wander the gardens and grounds as if they were your own private winter refuge. Come, immerse yourself in the peace and quiet of winter at Biltmore. Stay and escape during the lowest rates of the year. Learn more at Biltmore.com.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Tired of wasting time and money on starvation diets that lead to more frustration and stress? If there was a weight loss solution that could actually work for you, would you try it? Then head to golo.com.
I'm Steve. I lost 138 pounds in 9 months on Golo.
I'm Amber. I've lost 128 pounds with Golo Taking Release.
If you're ready to take back control of your life, head to golo.com now and see how Golo can work for you. That's golo.com.
My sleep is way better. My inflammation has gone way down. Golo saved my life. I was way overweight. That's what sent me down the path. I wanted to make sure and live for my kid.
I have literally tried everything. I was on the verge of getting gastric bypass surgery, and I saw the Golo commercial, and it was the last thing I tried because it worked.
Join over 2 million people who have found a better way to lose weight with Golo. Your healthier and happier life begins at golo.com. That's golo.com. Again, golo.com.
Conan.
Yep.
I have something I want to say.
What up?
If you're a regular listener to K100, you've heard us talk about our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition. Now, Nick Aldis may be on probation indefinitely, but he knows what he's doing when it comes to supplements and you. Our faithful K100 fans have been proven it time and time again. In fact, Nick and his wife, Mickey James, were at WrestleCon in LA over WrestleMania weekend, and they met several K100 listeners who are now loyal LegacySubs.com customers as well, including this shout out here to Jay Baca, who was finally able to meet Nick in person and tell him that since he started using Legacy products about 1 year ago, he's lost over 50 pounds and over 10 inches from his waist. Jay was so excited to share his progress that he bought his Legacy products with him to show Nick, and you can see those pictures at the LegacySubs.com Instagram page. Jay is currently using Absolute Men's Wellness Formula, MCT Oil Caps, and Ultimate Test Stack. We want to take a moment to give a shout out to Jay and huge congrats on your awesome progress. Shout out to Nick Aldis and Legacy Sports Nutrition for these amazing results. If you want to transform your body just like Jay, go to LegacySubs.com now and always use the code K100. That's K100. It's the most used code on the site ever. That's a testimony to our listeners. For 10% off your entire order and show your love and support for the show, level up with LegacySupps.com. Legacy Subs.
You know, go check it out. They got pre-workout stuff. They got stuff to help you improve your memory. They got stuff for recuperation after workouts. What do you use, Joe?
Much like Jay, I also use the Ultimate Test Stack. I've been using that for a few months, and it's really helped when I do the fight camp workouts with energy and recovery, and also, of course, the Recovery PM, as we all know, helps you sleep a lot better and you wake up very refreshed. So, been recommending this for a long time, and I still do. I mean, it's very, very helpful stuff. It'll make you feel better.
We all use it. It's very effective. There's a reason why they've stayed with us. Our listeners have been buying it, and Jay Baca's proof of its effectiveness. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
I think you could make a case that of all the podcasts out there, and if you look at all the fan bases of all the podcasts, that our fan base might be the most physically fit of all the podcasts. Because if Nick is selling, if like we're the number one sellers of his products, you would think they're. I mean, you see what wrestling fans look like generally, right, Conan? I mean, that's right. So we're helping, we're improving the lives of our listeners one day at a time.
And
what
I
do you
think they appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Next is from George Gebhardt. The subject is Riddle being punished? Hey guys, we know that Matt Riddle's out for a few months in rehab, but the storyline was that he got injured by Solo. He's now back and is wanting to get revenge on the Bloodline. So what does the WWE have him do in the two or three matches he had against Solo since his return? Lose, and rather cleanly. And the last lesson this week's SmackDown, Solo beat him with a clothesline. Not the Samoan Spike, but just a clothesline. That's very odd storytelling, having the returning hero seeking revenge lose every match he's been involved in. We've seen Solo lose already to Cody, so they aren't protecting undefeated streak or anything. So this is just punishment for Riddle for failing drug policy? Because otherwise, none of this makes much sense from a storyline perspective. Very well could be. I don't, you know, I'm not going to, like, rule that out. Like, would you agree with that, Conan?
Yeah, it could be. Maybe they're checking his attitude. Maybe they're afraid that he might, you know, go back to his ways. And they're just like, all right, right now we're not, until you can prove to us that you're professional and you want us, you're going to do what we ask to do, this is what's going to happen. And maybe they're also protecting Solo at the same time and getting him ready for an eventual split up with Roman.
Right. Next is some Leslie Sincere, and the subject is No Money, No Glow. What's good, Kevin Under Crew and Joe? While taking anything from the dirt sheet as fact would be amiss, it would be interesting to learn that Naomi wouldn't be joining Mercedes FK, formerly known as Sasha Banks, down in New Japan. According to Meltzer, New Japan Wrestling does not have the budget to sign Naomi, as a lot of the money went into signing Mercedes. Kind of sucks for Naomi, as she had Mercedes back through their whole ordeal, but has gotten a short stick at the end. My question is, talent like Cody, Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder, and others have found success in independence and made a name for themselves. So do you think Naomi could do the same in women's independent wrestling? Thanks in advance, your boy Les. First of all, I would question this report that Dave Meltzer... Cody, you got to lower that. You got to mute.
My bad.
My take on this would be like, bro, this is the signing one... Like Naomi's asking for that much money that New Japan can't afford her? I think that's a very dubious report. Like, they could use her if they're using, you know, Sasha, because she's a pretty good worker. I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Think it's New Japan. Isn't it Stardom?
No, it says New Japan.
I think she's worked for both.
Well, yeah. If it's New Japan, you would think they have the money, right?
First of all, Joe, see if you can find that actual report, because if Leslie Sincere says that, according to Meltzer, New Japan Wrestling does not have the budget to sign Naomi, if that's fake news, we're going to have to suspend Leslie Sincere from the mailbag, okay? So try and find out if that's accurate, that okay. Dave said that. Next is from Arsonist Jackson. So did his NFL draft. Hi, K100 crew. I believe my one-week suspension is up. I meant suspended, not banned before, but I don't want to send a second email for fear of upsetting the superior one. And I wanted to ask this before the draft. As a Panther fan who doesn't follow college football, who do you guys think we should take with the number one pick? Young looks too small. Stroud seems like he'd become a Mahomes type, but Richardson has the most overall athleticism. You guys are the best. Thanks. I would say Stroud, because his style is the least risk-averse of the other two quarterbacks that run a lot. And I would suggest that these guys would try to draft a quarterback that's going to stay healthier over the course of a career. I don't know. What about you, Cody? Any take on that?
Yeah, you're muted.
I don't know, bro. I mean, Young, I don't care really. I'm not a, you know, there's always, how big was Michael Vick?
6 foot.
Yeah, like 6 foot.
You know, I'm not really into height. I'm into talent. You know, the guy has a quick release. He's a winner. You know, I don't know. I would hate to pass him over because he's too small. And, you know, I think I would take a chance on Bryce Young. Now, everybody's marveling over Richardson. They say he's got a cannon of an arm. His accuracy is ridiculous. He can run. I mean, everybody seems to be high on him, too. I don't know. You just got to do your due diligence. I would have to see them, you know, in these, what do they call the disco, the tryouts?
Combines.
Combines.
Yeah. You know, the combines and actually see what they're doing. I haven't really seen enough of them to say, but I like Bryce Young. I think he's going to do good in the NFL.
All right. Hang on. Give me 2 seconds here, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next is from Jared Avia. Second email. This email, the second one was sent Tuesday, April 18th at 11:12 p.m. But it's still two emails this week, so he's going to be suspended from the mailbag for next week. Subject is Sid Vicious being paranoid and gullible. Hey, K100 fam. Hope everyone is doing okay. Wishing you the best with your health issues, K-Dog. Just wanted to ask him about Sid. He was one of my favorite guys in the biz when I was a kid watching WWE and WCW. Bret Hart stated in an interview a long time ago that Sid had a good heart, but that he was an easy guy to rile up if you wanted to rib him about something. Bret stated that Sid was paranoid back when Bret was around the guy. Does the crew have any similar stories about Sid being paranoid back when you guys shared the same locker room with him? Do you guys have any stories of Sid being gullible for getting riled up so easily? Thank you very much, and that's the best from Jared. I got a story. So there was an angle on TV, and Mark Madden said that on air said that Sid Vicious was playing a game of Monkey in the Middle. Have you ever heard that term before, Monkey in the Middle, Conan?
Yeah, and it's a kid's game. Yeah,
kid's game, right. After that, Sid confronted Madden and yelled at him and goes, "You called me a monkey." It's like, no, I didn't call you a monkey. I said you played the game Monkey in the Middle. But he was like paranoid. Like, you know, that's my Sid paranoid and gullible story. That he thought Mark Madden called him a monkey when he was just saying he's playing a game of Monkey in the Middle. You got any stories about Sid being gullible, Conan?
Yeah, I got Conan.
No, I do remember when I was in WWE and Love Machine was a really good friend of Sid Vicious from when they were in NWA together. And he was just trying to tell him, look out for Ric Flair because Flair's coming in and he's going to try to take your spot. And he was like, you think so? And Machine was like, I know so. And that's kind of what happened. But, bro, I always thought, do you remember that old video disco where they brought Sid Vicious into NWA and he was on a stage like the Hunchback of Notre Dame? Remember? And he was kind of like on this rotating thing.
I don't remember this.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Joe?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Bro, he looked like a freak. And I was like, who is this guy? He's incredible. I was always a big Sid Vicious fan. And then when I met him in person, he was a really cool guy. I liked Sid.
I remember when he came in as a kid, exactly what you're talking about, Conan. Plus, he would just he did the power bomb, and I never saw it before. He would crush guys with it, and he was actually kind of athletic. He would come off the second with a leg drop and do jumping shit. He was really athletic when he started.
He had a great look, bro, and he looked like a freak. He was great.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I've seen different shoots where Hall and Nash, they wanted to bring Sid into WCW. Nash has repeatedly said Sid was money. Now, I want to ask if you guys agreed, but, you know, obviously you did.
Sid was money.
So, Conan.
What up?
I've been training, and I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every day. What a product. Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Yeah, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high-quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it. There's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like, it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out, and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can, you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate, just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it, and sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great, and you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym, you know. It works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high-quality ingredients, all in one. It's a comprehensive solution, and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan. That's athleticgrenns.com/KONNAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this is the type of product that if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All three of us use it. We all swear by it.
But check that out at athleticgreens.com/Conair.
Boom.
Next from JJ Claxton, subject is Conan Disco's fashion throughout the year. Hello, it is I, the man of many names, JJ Claxton. I love seeing old pictures of you guys during your old WCW days, and love seeing the type of clothing you wore. Very flamboyant, extravagant. Sadly, as the years passed by, your fashion statement changed to be more simple. Would we ever see Conan Disco wear some extravagant pieces again? Also, everyone go follow the TikTok page to support the boys and promote Mad Daddy Magic Menard's Twitch show, which is coming soon. Hmm. All right, we'll do that. Well, bro... We're 50. We're almost 60 years old. And we're not going to dress like we did when we were 30. I mean, come on, JJ. Should I suspend him for that dumb question? Like he thinks like, you know, nah, all right. Next is from JG, and the subject is AEW new show. Hey, fam, I can't believe AEW is starting up a new show. Rampage is the drizzling shits. While Dynamite is fun, feel-good show, there is no episodic storytelling week to week. What good is a new show going to do? Seriously, what is the point? Thanks, and that's from JG from New Jersey.
I don't know.
It's a good question. They need to make the shows they have better before they add more shows and dilute the product even more. You know, so that's, we've spoken about this ad nauseum on the show repeatedly. Cody, you have anything to add?
I actually saw the Rampage show this week because I wanted to see Jalisco versus Vikingo. It's only an hour. It's not as rushed as a Dynamite show where they're trying to stick all the, you know, 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag, but it's still not an interesting show.
Next is from Sumganda Chanko, and the subject is Triple H. Is this the second one this week, or is this the first one? First one, right?
Chanka, I think that's a second. Yeah, let me see. That's a second
check
one.
It could go
that's
a second early, one, yeah. Okay, yeah. It's the suspension. Yeah. Suspension. Subject is Triple H bringing back the wrestling business. Good day, K100 crew. Hope you're all doing well. Now, we all know Billy has no idea what he's talking about most of the time, but during one of his most psychotic breaks, he was making the point that Triple H's booking hasn't significantly changed or impacted the business. Yes, on a week-to-week basis, it's not 1985 Mid-South of the Attitude Era, but the show is better than it has been, and the characters being progressed as well as the stories. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware, but WWE's business recently has been hot. Ticket sales are booming, nearly sold out everywhere they go, including house shows, and the audience is getting younger, which shows they might actually be gaining new fans. According to Uncle Dave and Brandon Thurston, the Raw audience in particular is getting a lot younger than it has been, and the same for NXT, which has the oldest wrestling audience. My question is, do you think WWE will continue to grow and get hotter, or do you think this hot streak will die down? You know, like we've always said, and like this is interesting that this is coming to fruition, that a lot of the content that they put on, okay, that me and Conan being 55 years old, sort of thing, we're like watching this shit and saying this isn't for us. Like they're obviously doing this to try to draw younger fans, and if that has actually worked, you can absolutely sacrifice content for your older fans that aren't going to be interested in a lot of this stuff to draw younger fans if it's working. And I would be hats off if they are drawing younger fans, because there's, like I said, me and Conan have said repeatedly on the show that this is not for us. You know, that this is for kids, right? I mean, would you agree with that, Conan?
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess, bro, when you got the metrics machines involved and, like, you got the data that they have and they think, you know, and then, bro, they're successful. The business is doing well. They're using they're reading the room right. You know, even though wrestling's not going to come back and be like what it was, and I think that's mainly because a lot of the guys don't really wrestle kind of like an older, like a more, I don't know. So wrestling is more acrobatic today, so it's going to be difficult to, right. You know,
compared to where it was 3 or 5 years ago, it was terrible. And on top of that, the great usage of Bad Bunny, Pat McAfee.
Yes.
The Bloodline storyline, Sami Zayn, KO, the Dominic Rey thing. They've got a lot of hot shit going on, bro.
Right. They're hitting. It's like the perfect example. If they're a baseball team and you're looking at the top nine and the 1 through 9, like 5 years ago, there was maybe like one guy in the team that was hitting over 270. Mm-hmm. It's like now they're like 3, 4, and 5 hitters are really strong. You know, it's like you got Trout, Otani, and like Judge. The rest of the guys maybe like hit around 230. But like, you know, the heart of your order is actually doing pretty well here. Yep. You know, if your business is doing good. So I would say, like, if you look at, like, a baseball lineup, the lineup isn't that bad. It used to suck, right? So we can agree on that. Next is from McCucumber. And this, oh, my God. Is there even really a necessary reason to read this? You ready for this topic, Conan? You gotta get the kazoo out for McCucumber. This is the first time he's ever did. The subject is a question about Fast Eddie. Hi, K100.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I've been listening on YouTube and have heard the name Fast Eddie, or maybe it was Crazy Eddie, come up a few times on the show. Mainly when Conan is making fun of the name for not being original. Now, I was reading an article about something related to Conan, the Hall of Fame, the other day, and someone in the comments section said, and I quote, Conan was known as Conan el Barbero in Mexico, which yet translates to Conan the Barbarian. He used to have long hair and was probably the most jacked wrestler of his era in Mexico. So is this true Conan stole his name from Conan the Barbarian? Kind of hypocritical to make fun of this Eddie guy for not having an original name, if that is indeed true. Do you want to suspend McCucumber for those comments?
Explain something to you. Number one, Fast Eddie or Crazy Eddie is a stupid name, and I'll say it to Joe whether he likes it or not. It's very unoriginal. It took no thought process to come up with that. Kind of like the same guy who came up with Big Bill, fucking guy named Mr. JL for Jerry Lynn. Like, you spent zero time on thinking up of your name. That's number one. Number two, he wasn't a wrestler. He was backyard playing around with some other goofballs. Okay.
Right.
So having said that, since you don't understand the embryonic stages of my name. When I first started, my name was El Centurion, and which that basically means
Centurion from Star Wars.
We were the commander of a Roman army. Okay, and when my trainer told me that was my name, Rey Mysterio Sr., I was like, I really don't give a fuck if you call me the pencil. I just wanted to wrestle. When I got into the ring in my debut match, since I had long hair and all that. They were like, the announcer looked at me, and he called me Conan the Barbarian. Conan el Bárbaro, that's how you say it in Spanish. And the name stuck. So no, it isn't unoriginal because I didn't rip it off from anybody. It was given to me. The people liked it, and it stuck. And I can't believe that you'd compare that to Crazy Eddie, whatever the fuck you just did.
That's right. Exactly what I would have. I was hearing Disco read that. I was like, that's not even apples and oranges. I don't even know how. That's not a comparison at all. And of course, it was backyard wrestling.
Shade at me like, oh, you're hypocritical and you know fake outrage. You're like, this is really a big deal. Suspend.
You want to give this?
I don't usually suspend people. Suspend this guy, Joe.
McCucumber.
Yeah, McCucumber suspended. Next is from Jonathan Wood. The subject is Doug Gilbert shoot. Hi again, folks. Just want to get your opinion. Apologies if you've talked about this before. But I want to ask about the Doug Gilbert promo in Power Pro Wrestling. WWE's developmental at the time, where he shoots on Jerry Lawler, calling him a pedophile rapist. A claim made against Lawler in 1993 revealed that Lawler was Brian Christopher's father, something that was forbidden to mention on TV, and accused Randy Hill of smoking crack. He was immediately fired and banned. I'm attaching the video below, but I know what happened while y'all were in WCW, was wondering if there was any blowback in the industry that y'all witnessed. Also, have you ever seen another promo or been around folks who legit accuse someone of a major felony as a shoot and not a work? I feel like that's the sort of thing that would cause an on-site situation between workers. Thanks for putting out great content. Happy to be a longtime Patreon member. Oh, and Joe, how is it that y'all can put on quality work week after week but can't get my go put out a new episode for months at a time? Mm. Is that incompetence? Or just too much beef amongst the parties, a la Ebony and Ivory. Thanks as always, and that's from John Wood. I don't want to play this video.
Okay.
Yeah, the people can like go to our put in the Patreon, Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, yeah, get people to the videos are too long. Just put them in the Patreon and get people to go to our Patreon if they want to see it. Right?
Well, the video said it's 7 minutes, and the guy says it starts at 6:15, so it's only 45 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right, I'll put
it's
it
very
on.
Very short because they cut him off. Yeah.
All right, put it on.
Okay.
Started at 6:15.
This is
If he goes and shoots up, he did get fired. I remember this.
Yeah, I don't.
He got fired. That's like you go and shoot on somebody, you get fired. That's what happened. You get fired.
Okay. Here we go.
And go to commercial. Okay. I think now is one of those times.
Hold it, Dave. Let me say one more thing. You give everybody else their chance, right?
Watch what you say.
Watch what I say now. Now listen, the first thing, now, right, hold on one second. Listen, the first thing, somebody showed me a tape right just to come out here with, I'm Doug Gilbert and Jerry Lawler. I'm going to stick my fist in your mouth. Well, come on, Dave. I ain't that corny. I just said, you know I'm Doug Gilbert and Jerry Lawler. You
this is all. We're not going to let him get away with that anymore. We're going to let those other guys get away with it. Go to a break right now.
Well, you give a guy a live mic, he says something like that, you get fired. You get fired.
Now, the guy wanted to know if you guys heard about that in WCW.
Yeah, then he got this
really?
Story.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's a one like a. See, that's the thing, like, the marks think, like, stuff, like, they read things, and they think that this stuff was, like, a bigger deal than it was back in the day.
Oh, just
we all heard it. It was just, like, heard it, you got fired, that's it. There's literally nothing beyond that part of the story. There's nothing to talk about, okay? Yeah,
because it was 1999, and it's not like you would have seen it immediately on Twitter or YouTube or something, you know what I mean?
All right, so next one's from Adam DeMoy, and he is our Tony Schiavone watchdog, I guess would be the best way to put it, right? Because he stooged that Tony Schiavone was getting points on his Pizza Hut app for ordering the pizzas that Tony Khan was getting at the AEW. Tony Khan was paying for the pizzas, but Tony was ordering from his app and getting the points on the app.
That's very sly.
And he thought that was kind of like a very kind of a scam, is the way Adam tried to describe it. Or I may be wrong in that story, but it sounds
something
correct.
Like
okay, right.
None of the truth get in the way of a good story, though.
Right. Subject is Trish and Neckbeards in Hall of Fame. Hey, guys, with the Trish Stratus being back, do you think that will help all the new Neckbeard fans discover what busting a nut feels like? P.S. I have one complaint about Conan and Ray's Hall of Fame speeches and one comment question. Number one, it seemed like Ray just repeated Conan's timeline speech because both speeches ended when Ray got to the WWE. Ray talked very little about matches in his time in WWE for his introduction to WWE Hall of Fame. Number two, when Ray told the story about quitting his pizza job and coming to Mexico because Conan called him, and then after being down there for a few weeks, he was broke and needed money sent to him by his girlfriend and wife, where was Conan during this time? Was Conan broke too? It's a good question. Let's go with number – I want to get to the answer to question number two. Were you broke when Ray quit his pizza job and needed money sent to him when you got him to come into Mexico? Were you broke too?
I was not broke. The problem was is Ray never told me.
Told you and what?
Why didn't you tell me? He goes, I didn't want to bother you. So if he would have told me, I would have hooked him up.
But you were not broke.
No, I was not broke, but I don't know what the fuck his finances were. He never told me.
It's okay. This is funny. Next is from Sam, and I feel bad. You know, I actually feel bad for his kid because I thought he could have stayed on and done some content with Austin and stuff.
It's right,
and
yes. Actually super cool. Yeah.
I like Austin. Yeah.
Right. So next is from Sam Schneider, and the subject is: could Heyman save AEW? Hey, K100 crew, I want to ask you guys if you give him the opportunity, could Paul Heyman fix AEW? If Tony Khan was to give complete control to Paul, to just being able to fire talent and actually be in charge of booking the matches and shows, is it possible that he could do more good than bad to the product? I know it is a hypothetical situation. I'm going to go read the rest of this, okay? Heyman would probably do a better job than Tony, okay? But he's not coming to AEW, all right? So forget it. That's like a typical, like, smart mark email, like, you know, could Paul Heyman save AEW? I bet you that guy like follows what culture and like all those other stupid shit, you know? Next is from Steve Haig, subject is impersonations. Hey, K100 crew, I recently saw a video of Karrion Kross do a great Jesse Ventura impression on
Chris Van Vliet.
Vliet, he spelled it wrong. He spelled Chris Van Velt. Should I suspend this guy for spelling Chris Van Vliet's name wrong? For misinformation? Nah, we'll give him a break.
Yeah.
I just want to know, was there anybody out there that did good impressions in the locker room in your day? Yeah, a bunch of guys did good impressions in our locker room. I did good impressions. I do a great impression of Howard Finkel. Do you want to hear my Howard? I've done it before. Do you want to hear my Howard Finkel impersonation?
Yeah, and after you do the Howard Finkel, do your Kermit the Frog impression. Go ahead.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not. You know what? I'm not going to do the Howard Finkel now.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, you just insulted. That was an insult, and that insult might cause harm. Okay.
Wow.
Now I'm going to do it. From the Department of Corrections in Cobb County, Georgia, weighing 357 pounds, the Big Boss Man. It's not bad, right?
Give me the one. Stand up and rise for the Soviet Union national flag. That one.
No, I don't do that one. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Volkov asks you to please rise for the singing of the Russian national anthem.
Bro, there's never been anything like that.
Bro, there's really nothing. Like, honestly, there's really the simplicity of professional wrestling that I grew up with that was so great. It's like when Volkov would ask the fans to please rise for the singing of the Russian national anthem, and just a smattering of boos that right. would just start coming from the crowd. Like, such very simple heat. You know, like,
and then when he would start singing.
All right. Oh, this is interesting right here. This is from Ick5150. This subject is random. Sup, K100 Squad. Conan, any regrets? Disco, the Boogie Nights. Who was the Marty and who was the Sean? Feeny, which do you prefer? Disco Inferno, DISQO, Hip Hop Inferno, Cowboy Gilberti, the New York, the NYG TNA, or current Twitter opinion, Maggot Inferno? This guy calls me Maggot Inferno. Mm. Let's suspend him. This email is
stupid. What happens.
Yeah, you're done, Ick. Suspend him for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Because this whole email was atrocious, you know?
The picture on the screen, Ick5150 here wanted to know if you have any regrets about wearing this garb to the ring on TV. Absolutely.
Why would you
not.
Have regrets about that? We were the filthy animals.
It's phenomenal.
Like, that's something you were wearing in Dre's After Hours in 1999 right. back in Vegas.
I was talking to Ruben Police Scanner Zamora, who lives in Las Vegas, and he's doing like Uber. And he was telling me that Dre's is still around, which I didn't even know. And he said, like, every night they have, like, a different rap act.
Yeah, the club, but not the After Hours club.
Okay.
By the way, I just got a message. Did you book Kenny for Thursday, Joe? Kenny,
I didn't realize I was muted. Yeah, Thursday, yeah. So
okay, cool.
We're going to do Lucha tomorrow.
Oh, cool. All right,
Larry,
cool.
So that doesn't interfere.
Perfect. All right. Next is from – and 8-51-50, 2 weeks on that, right? Subject from Tuner O, and the subject is music. From El Hijo del Disco, all the way from the West Texas. What's up, K-Dog? The Great Disco Inferno and Cy Joe. This question is for Conan, because I'm pretty sure D.I. and Joe will probably not know who I'm talking about. Conan, have you heard of the narco corrido singer Peso Pluma, who recently beat heavy hitters for today's generation like Bad Bunny, Drake, Taylor Swift, etc., as the most listened artist globally on Spotify? The new generation of narco corrido singers look like SoundCloud rappers, but not going to lie, Peso Pluma's songs are pretty catchy. What's your thoughts on his songs? That's if you've heard them. Stay healthy, K-Dog. Hope you find a kidney donor soon. And Disco, keep pissing off the marks on Twitter. I find it hilarious. Joe, sigh, Joe. You're cooler than KG and Billy. All right, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's like being the least corrupt Biden.
Right. Conan, Peso Pluma, any thoughts?
Yeah, super popular guy. Does have catchy beats because he's doing narco corrido, basically.
What is narco corrido?
I'm about to tell you. Music about the drug culture and the drug dealers and all that, you know. And where sometimes, well, they'll have songs named after some of the capos. Very.
Let me ask you, what were the two factions now? What are the names of the two biggest narco
cartels?
Two biggest cartels in Mexico right now.
Cartel de Sinaloa, Chapo's old.
The Sinaloa, thing. Right? Yes, yeah, the Sinaloa and, cartel, right? The Jalisco, right?
And then, of course, Nuevo Jalisco cartel.
Right?
Yeah.
Which one's the one that's a new and more violent one that we talked about?
Yeah, Jalisco.
Jalisco, right, yeah. Yeah, they're like killing. Yeah. Bro, me and my buddy that I work with at work, he's born in he was born in Mexico, right? So he's always in, like, we always look at all the narcos, so, like, on Twitter and think, bro, you got to see these guys. They're dressed like special ops military guys. Like, they got all the military gear and stuff, and like they look like fighters from the movie, the video game Halo. Mm. You know, like, they got, like, all modern and shit. Like, Jesus Christ. It's like, they got so much money, it's ridiculous, you know? So the next one is from, we got three left here. It's got a lot of mail this week, by the way, obviously. From P. Yash, and the subject is wrestling commentary. Boys, hope all is well with the crew at K100. I'm curious about your thoughts on Mauro Ranallo. I thought he added excitement to wrestling while watching on TV, just like Vince McMahon, Gorilla Monsoon, JR, and Tony. I can't stand Michael Cole and find him boring and unlikable, but it seems like everyone else is a fan. Corey Graves is another bozo who does absolutely nothing for me when it comes to entertainment. It doesn't even come close to Bobby the Brain, who in my opinion is the greatest to ever do it. But I'm just going to sidebar here. Bro, that's not a knock on Corey Graves for not coming close to Bobby the Brain. All right? Bobby the Brain was a legend. Yeah. One of the best ever. Come on. It's like, that's an atrocious criticism. The only person I can see having potential would be Pat McAfee. It would have been nice to see him and Mauro work together. What are your thoughts on wrestling commentary from the past and present? Thanks. That's from Patrick Yash's shit. It's not as good as it used to be, obviously, because, like, guys like, you know, Jesse and Vince together was my favorites because they were, there's a lot of iconic wrestling announcers that are just from the past, right? The announcers today are not iconic, all right? But they're not, you know, I was critical of Corey Graves for a while because I just didn't get him, like, are you a heel? Are you a babyface? You're like, well, what is your... Because he would, like, go in and out of heel and babyface commentary back and forth, and I'm like, I'm like, why is he, you know, just kind of confusing. Michael Cole is a narrator that narrates stories. He's not as good as JR was at it because JR had brought more emotion, or just, like, his emotion verbally sounded better. He had a kind of a Texas drawl to his voice, and yeah, the, you know, just, I don't know. He's more of a character than Michael Cole was. But, you know, Corey Graves has had a lot of great commentary in a lot of the angles that are going right now, especially, like, the stuff he's been doing to get, like, Dom and Ray's angle over. Like Corey Graves has been, like been really good on the mic, narrating a lot of the storylines lately. You know, and he's been – and, like, maybe when the storylines aren't good and you're just trying to get yourself over and throwing one-liners out there, you don't notice. But, like, when there's a good storyline, it's like – I've not noticed, like, the commentary. I just felt like the commentary has been fine, which is good. Like, the commentary is not supposed to take over and, like, be the most important thing. But, like, when you're listening to the commentary and you're watching the angles, they're not, like, saying stuff that you're confused or anything. They're just being very basic. And, like the funniest thing was there was a good spot where Corey, there was the what you call it, the what do they call it? The Judgment Day. The Judgment Day were in the ring. And I think maybe they're across the ring from maybe Kevin, like, I don't know, maybe it might have been the Bloodline or something, or another heel, another faction. And Dom, being like the punk kid, like, got in somebody's face, and, like, before, to ignite everything, Dom punched a guy in the face, right? And then they started brawling, right? And Corey Graves had a great line in that commentary. He's like, Dom just had, like, a flashback from the, like, he was supposed to be from prison, right? He goes, Dom just had a flashback from the yard, find the biggest guy and punch him in the mouth. Bro, and stuff. So, like, good, he's nailed, like, a lot of really good commentary like that. And, like, you know, in telling these stories and helped, he's assisted in getting these guys over. Cause sometimes commentary can ruin, shitty commentary can like kill an angle. They've not killed anything. They've actually enhanced all their angles. So I would say the commentary in this show has been pretty good so far lately. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I didn't like Corey at the beginning, but you got to remember, he used to be a wrestler and he was thrown into the deep end of commentary. Commentary is not easy. I've done it all my life. It is right. Not easy at all. Just because you're a good talker doesn't mean you're a good commentator. Correct. But I think he's found his way now, and I think he's hilarious. Michael Cole's kind of one-dimensional, but he's serviceable. Nothing like JR, who would turn up the emotion and scream and get into it. And JR was just one of a kind. And
right.
I was a big, big, big fan of Jesse the Body Ventura. Right. I thought that was great. And I absolutely loved Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, bro. That was fucking money. And there's nobody like that. Nobody even close. Pat McAfee, right. Awesome for the little time he's been in.
Right.
And I got to hit him up because I hit him up to come on the show and he didn't answer. So I'm going to hit him up again.
Mm-hmm. All right, Nexus and Ryan DeMone and subject CM Punk chants. Are you guys surprised at the lack of AEW crowds chanting CM Punk's name? When he left WWE, there were constant chants. Do you think he finally had lost his goodwill to the wrestling audience? And thanks for your time. No. First of all, when Punk was on AEW, he would get the CM Punk chants. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of weird.
I think they mean after he left, right?
I'll say this.
Is that what they meant, when, George?
Yeah. Why doesn't WWE audience chant?
Let me tell you why.
When he left AEW.
Let me tell you why. And this, I think this is a good logical answer to this. Is that when the WWE was going through this period of time where everybody was like couldn't stand the creative, fans that would hate watch the show go on the internet every week and like bury the show and just start Vince and stuff, would actually go to the live events and troll the show. Like CM Punk, they did chant CM Punk, they'd cheer the heel, they would troll the show, okay? Well, then all of a sudden, the pandemic came around, right? And then there weren't any shows, and there weren't any fans. And a new company started, AEW. And AEW started before but the fans that were now trolling the WWE product at the live shows, now they weren't going to the live shows anymore. They're just showing up and going to the AEW show, the new product. So you didn't see that dynamic of like the fans hate watching the show, showing up live and hate watching the product and trolling the product. Like doing the chants that kill the angles and stuff. And thinking, you know, I don't know. Would you agree with that? That might be a reason.
But I also think, like I stated previously, when he left WWE, he left very hot. And when he left AEW, he didn't leave as hot. And I think that. Why they weren't chanting his name. But there is some...
Well, for example, he came back to AEW, yeah, and he didn't come back hot. Remember, it's kind of lame. He was fighting Lee Moriarty. He was fighting Lee... You know, so it didn't like... He didn't have that... There's kind of like almost disappointment to the fans. Like, yo, that they weren't chanting his name because he came back and they didn't like do much of the ratings. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, we know there's zero chance of them winning. So, yeah. Right. I thought that the way... If that was his decision, I think that was not. In hindsight, he may even admit it one day, but who knows?
Nexus of Skyflame 09 and the Subject's entrance themes. The LAX and Wolfpack themes are some of the best hip-hop entrance tracks of all time. Do you guys have any insight on how the music is created, and do the wrestlers have any input?
No, we have no clue
how the music is created, right? Yeah. Also, do wrestlers have the choice to not use a theme if they think it's basura? What does basura mean?
Trash.
Okay. All right, so what's your answer to this?
The Wolfpack theme was because me and Nash had heard this song on the radio we liked, and he was like, you know what? I'm going to use that beat to make the Wolfpack theme. So that came from a song that was very popular back in the 90s. The LAX theme was, I went into a production, a studio here in San Diego with a guy that does rap music. For some of the top groups here in San Diego. And I just said, this is the beat I want. I want you to add this. I want you to add that. And I just sat with him until he got what I wanted.
Interesting. Well, that's in the mailbag.